Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at politics across the state and the nation with Anjanette Damon, the Las Vegas Sun, and News 3 and News 4. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Larry Mathias, and Derek Morris. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Anjanette Damon. She is the political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun, News 3, News 4, host of To the Point, the hardest working woman in show business. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you very much.
Wanted to start out with the demise of John Lee. And one of the major factors in that was Planned Parenthood going after John Lee. And the New York Times had a story this weekend talking about how Planned Parenthood has now become a totally political organization. If you're not 100% with them, then they're 100% against you. And even, I believe it was Reagan, said that, you know, if you're with me 80% of the time, you're not a 20% traitor. What do you think about this and the idea of potentially going after Marilyn Kirkpatrick and Debbie Smith?
Yeah, well, we should probably note that Planned Parenthood, their PAC, kind of stepped back from that coalition. Aaron Neff, who runs Progress Now Action, felt very emboldened. Their PAC felt very emboldened after defeating John Lee, and they said, all right, we're going to keep an eye now on conservative Democrats. They really want to see people vote for tax increases. I'm not quite sure how backing more liberal Democrats will, or getting more liberal Democrats into legislature will necessarily result in a tax increase. It seems to me you need some of those middle-of-the-road people to make some decisions there.
Would you strike Marilyn Kirkpatrick and Debbie Smith as conservative Democrats?
Not necessarily. But, you know, Aaron Neff was making the point on Debbie Smith. The teachers union is really upset with Debbie Smith for some of the provisions in the education reform that came out at the end of last session. Marilyn Kirkpatrick, I'm not quite sure where they are on that. But back to my original point was this coalition that came together to oust John Lee. It was kind of as I think Kyle Davis put it, a perfect storm. They were joined by their dissatisfaction, to put it lightly, over John Lee, a single individual senator. So I don't know that you'll see Planned Parenthood and the League of Conservation Voters and these other groups that join that coalition on the Lee ouster necessarily join with Progress Now or plan to go after people like Debbie Smith and Marilyn Kirkpatrick, who have been on their issues all along.
And it's interesting because, you know, certainly with Marilyn Kirkpatrick, a business-friendly legislator, not somebody who is opposing everything that business is trying to get ahead. What are your thoughts on the margin tax? The governor's already come out and said he'll veto that.
Yeah, that's going to be a really tough sell for the teachers union, the AFL-CIO, I think. People are extremely dissatisfied with the state of the education system in Nevada. I think business owners will tell you that. I think parents will tell you that. Students who graduate will probably tell you that. But Nevadans still kind of have this ingrained in their DNA to really despise tax increases. And I don't know necessarily that they trust lawmakers or the governor necessarily or the administration to spend those tax dollars wisely. That being said, you know, if it goes to the ballot and the voters say this is how you're going to spend the money, perhaps maybe they'll take a look at it. But you know, that initiative petition is 26, 27 pages long. It's going to be really hard for voters to digest. It'll be interesting to see, I think, more how this is used as a leverage point in the session rather than necessarily a pure ballot issue.
It was interesting. You had a story in today's Las Vegas Sun where you were writing about, is it fair to label Obama out of touch? And looking basically at campaign commercials and seeing the validity of these. And one of the interesting things about initiative petitions is that they get written in opposition to the one that's been placed there for this margins tax, but it'll be the one that says, I love teachers and you should vote for this initiative petition because of that. That's part of the frustration. I mean, I'm sure, like with me, a lot of people come to you and say, you know, what do I make of all these TV commercials, radio commercials, newspaper ads to understand it? What do you tell people?
Yeah, I mean, when you go to a ballot question, a lot of times maybe the voter will just read the headline or the question itself. And, you know, you see this in California a lot. There will be some happy initiative petition. And when you go back and you look at who's supporting it or what it's really going to do, it's not as happy and fluffy as a voter might have thought. That also being said, I'm not one to really subscribe to this whole idea that voters are stupid and they don't really know what they're voting for. I think I give voters credit. I think they do know what they're voting for. You know, the TV ads, it's difficult. It's silly season already. And yeah, we've launched this new little feature at the Las Vegas Sun where not just a TV ad, but a line of attack will look at the strategy behind it. And the one, not necessarily is Obama out of touch, but does he think that the private sector is doing fine was what we took a look at. And, you know, a lot of times these ads will pull a comment right out of context. Somebody said it, but the context has nothing to do with what the ad is saying. In this case, Obama, he said it. He said the private sector is doing fine. Now, there is context, as usual, with that line. He was saying, you know, in relation to the public sector, which is now really beginning to be a drag on the economy, you know, if Congress or federal money needs to look at who to rescue now, it's not necessarily the private sector, maybe the public sector to kind of stabilize things economically. But he still said it. He came back later that day and said, no, I don't believe the private sector is doing fine. But it's a fair attack.
Once it's out there, it's out there. All right, let's take a break. More with Anjanette Damon when we come back.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. Instead of just keeping up, Envy Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
Before Wall Street gave him $200,000 in campaign cash, before he voted to let bank CEOs take millions in taxpayer-funded bonuses, Dean Heller was a stockbroker. No wonder he voted against Wall Street reform, against holding the big banks accountable. Heller even voted to risk your Social Security here in the stock market. Dean Heller. He votes like he still works for Wall Street, and that's bad for you. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for content of this advertising.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. ProGroup provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. ProGroup prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with political reporter Anjanette Damon. Interesting that finally Shelley Berkley is going to appear on a Nevada statewide talk show, going to appear on Ralston's Face to Face tonight. Why do you think that somebody as confident and knowledgeable and glib, and I say that in the nicest way, has resisted dealing with the media for these past months?
Well, you know, I think that's a little bit of a fallacy that she hasn't dealt with the media, and it's something that the Heller campaign is definitely pushing. You know, they love to point out every single time she denies an interview. But while she hasn't sat down and subjected herself to our friend and colleague John Ralston, which can be an interesting experience, and she is more than up to the task to go head-to-head with him, I'm sure. But she has done these kind of weekly press avails. She does these press conferences where they try and attack whoever they're, you know, go out after that voting block du jour with their message. And at those times, we have the opportunity to go and ask her questions. She has, you know, she doesn't like to answer the question of the ethics probe. That's going to be coming to a head here in another 2 or 3 weeks. July 9th, I think, is when the ethics committee needs to decide whether they're going forward. And so a lot of times you would ask her, or you would ask her staff about what, how is this affecting things, and they would pivot to, this campaign is not about that, it's about the middle class. Every question they would answer with the middle class. But, you know, she's starting to change. I and my colleague Laura Myers at the Review Journal sat down with her at the Democratic Convention 2 weeks ago, and she addressed, you know, pretty much head on some of those ethics allegations.
And I thought she did just fine. I mean, that was kind of what surprised me, was that this is a person who is extremely good at doing interviews. In fact, in an interview program like this, it's a hard time getting a word in edgewise. You have to wait for her to breathe to be able to jump in there. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Frankie Sue Del Papa was the first person I came across that did that kind of interview. But she tossed away these ethics concerns almost immediately and came back with a smart answer. My question is, why did she waste so much time?
Yeah, I can't really answer that. You know, I do know that campaigns now, more than I've seen in the past, they've always been worried about what a candidate's going to say, because how it's going to be used by the opposition. That feeling is really entrenched now. Campaigns are just hyper aware and hyper worried about any kind of little statement that comes out on camera being used in a TV commercial. I mean, the Obama saying the private sector is doing just fine is a perfect example of that. So I think that you just have some real worry on the parts of campaigns, which, you know, it doesn't work. You know, when Sharon Engel decided to literally run away from pregnant reporters, you know, that those are horrible images. You can't say that you're running for office and not be willing to stand up and talk and explain what your viewpoints are. And, you know, I think we'll see more of Shelley Berkley as the campaign progresses.
Dean Heller obviously took the wise position of being basically hands off of this, but the rub against him is that he is not doing enough in Southern Nevada to get people to know him down there. What has the response been back to you?
Yeah, you know, I think they're aware of that. The campaign knows that they need to get him out before voters, get him a little bit more well known. He's been working on it. Even when he was congressman in the 2nd District, they did a lot of fundraising and that kind of stuff in Las Vegas, knowing that he probably had some sort of statewide run in his future. And we still have a ways to go. I think there's definitely more of the concern on Shelley Berkley's part of becoming not just well known, but well liked in Northern Nevada. Washoe County, she's got some work to do here. I think it's a swing county in both respects, in the presidential race and the Senate race. But yeah, Dean Heller needs to do some work down in Las Vegas.
But isn't the reality that the Democrats are going to vote for the Democrat, the Republicans are going to vote for the Republican, and it's the independents that are going to make the change here?
Pretty much. But, you know, Nevada, that's changing. This is changing. We haven't been that hyper-partisan. You see people kind of vote the candidate. You know, I think Brian Sandoval was a good example of that. He won Clark County. He won Washoe County, you know. And even Jim Gibbons, the gubernatorial race in 2006, Democrats didn't really like Dina Titus. I mean, she didn't come close to winning that election against a very flawed candidate. So you don't always see the Republican voting Republican, Democrat voting Democrat, particularly in Washoe County. I think you see a lot of that cross-party line vote. voting. And so a lot, especially in the Senate race, it's going to come down to these turnout machines and how much Obama's machine ramps up and is working in key precincts in Washoe County and others down south. For Shelley Berkley, Sheila Leslie's race will rely on that very heavily. Probably the congressional race, CD3, will rely on that as well.
Well, and you raise a good point. I mean, the Democrats have had an organization in place for many, many years now, pre the first Obama campaign, when Senator Reid almost got beaten by John Ensign and vowed that was not going to happen again. And that machine has been very strong and very active in many parts of it. Do you see Team Romney having an equal basis in that?
Equal? No. I mean, it's hard to come into a state and build something to rival, you know, a voter file that reaches back election after election that the Democrats have. That's not to say it can't be done. George W. Bush, their victory operation was stellar. And there was a lot of complaints that they came in, they ran a turnout machine for one election, and then they left. There was nothing left for the Republican Party to rely on for, you know, the next election or the election after that. So it is possible that Romney and the RNC can come in and build a field operation. There's also help from Crossroads and AFP and these other conservative super PACs and nonprofits that will be working on turnout as well. But it's really hard to build something immediately that will go up against what the Democrats have.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see the effect of all this super PAC money, because we've seen with Sheldon Adelson, for example, that for as much money he's spent, it's been ineffective in terms of certainly Gingrich. And it's also interesting that you don't have to actually reveal who you are to donate to these super PACs, and yet not only have they announced every time he's donated money, but they've said he's going to spend $100 million. What do you think of this campaign? Is Sheldon Adelson trying to make himself the most financially viable person since George Soros?
Well, first I'll say super PACs do have to reveal their donors. The 501c4s, the political nonprofit groups like AFP and one of the Crossroads arms, they don't. It's a different kind of animal. But Sheldon Adelson is interesting, and I think you've seen it, the concern raised that he can't really make this race, particularly the Senate race, Dean Heller versus Sheldon Adelson, Shelley Berkley versus Sheldon Adelson would work much better for Shelley Berkley than Shelley Berkley against Dean Heller. So the more he puts himself out there as the guy who's pulling the strings or funding this entire operation, if he becomes the Democrats' boogeyman and gets into the public eye as the person to beat rather than Dean Heller, that could backfire for him. But, you know, he, as much as he likes to avoid political interviews, he's not quiet about how he's spending his money.
To say the least.
Yeah.
As long as the other guys get to put the money in, he's willing to put it in too.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here. Always
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure. Come back
Thanks.
Soon. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The House Ethics Committee is looking into allegations against Congresswoman Shelley Berkley.
Charged with using her office to enrich her family, Berkley twisted arms to get federal dollars for her husband's business. A blatant conflict of interest. Conduct called dishonorable. Now Berkley's under investigation, and she won't answer questions.
Stonewalling the New York Times, refusing to talk about this.
Shelley Berkley makes the system work for herself. American Crossroads is responsible for the content of this advertising.
If you're ready to get more from your TV service, now's a great time to get AT&T UVerse TV. Make the switch.
Call now to get AT&T UVerse TV for only $29 a month for 6 months with a total home DVR included. Plus, add HBO and Cinemax and get the first 3 months free.
With UVerse TV, you can record 4 shows at once with a total home DVR that lets you play back, pause, or rewind your shows from any room. Get over 170 HD channels. That's more than cable.
Call now to get AT&T UVerse TV for only $29 a month for 6 months with a total home DVR included. Plus, add HBO and Cinemax and get the first 3 months free.
And now, exclusively from AT&T, our wireless receiver lets you move your TV where you want around the house, even outside, so you're no longer tied to the TV outlet.
AT&T UVerse, TV like you've never seen before.
Work ethic, experience, knowledge of the law, and negotiation skills are all qualities that are necessary for effective legal representation. I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have a legal question, call me for a free personal consultation. In my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
Winners of KRNV prizes can only win once in any 30-day period. No purchase necessary. Employees and families of KRNV, contest sponsors, and their affiliates are not eligible. Complete rules available at mynews4.com/contest and our studios, 1790 Vassar Street, during business hours.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Larry Mathias is here. He's the head of the Nevada State Medical Association. Trey Abney with the Chamber, representing Reno Sparks, and consulting engineer Derek Morse. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
It's the last week of the Supreme Court. They're starting to reveal some of the decisions. Your thoughts on the immigration information that's come out so far?
Well, I think that it was clearly a spanking to Arizona and a reassertion of the federal control of immigration policy. They left one piece for future court action. I think that's just to make sure that lawyers have employment in the future. But I think that what it says is the immigration issue is not yet settled. This is a skirmish on the sidelines of the immigration issue, but it does put it back into Congress, back into the administration, to begin to come to grips with the full extent of what the immigration issues are.
Do you think, Trey, that this is opening the door between this and the president's decision a couple of weeks ago with his version of the DREAM Act, obviously not the DREAM Act, but mm-hmm. his ability to change things, to open the door potentially next year to actually tackle immigration reform? Because it seems like a lot of Republicans have come out with an empathy factor for these kids.
Well, I think so. I think the DREAM Act is probably a winning issue for the president and for his party, and the Republicans have to be very careful. I think most Americans say, yeah, we need a controlled border, we need a tight border.
You should
follow the law, right?
I mean, because
under this president, more so than previous ones,
right,
including deportations and everything else.
And the question that I've been asking for a long time is, how much money are we going to spend to prevent how many people crossing the border? Because at this point, it's a net going the other direction.
That's right.
So how many billions of dollars do we take away from other things to prevent, is it one person coming across?
Right.
Is it 100 people coming across?
That's right.
Is it 1,000? What's the number?
I think so, too. I think most people, the Republicans try to ride that issue. Most people don't realize what is actually going on down on the border, just like you said. But I think Republicans and Democrats alike have sympathy for these kids that were brought over here for no fault of their own when they were little babies or little children, and now they're grown up, they've gone to American schools, middle, and high school, and now moving into college. And I think most people are thinking, yeah, these people are Americans and everything, but law. So, I think this issue could set up. Now it depends on who's president next year and what happens, as far
as
they're really going to tackle it.
Well, even Romney was backing off his positions when he was on Fox News Sunday a couple of Sundays ago. He was not saying the polar opposite of what the president was saying.
Maybe the primaries are over.
Yeah, we're running towards the center again, right? What I think is remarkable is that there's this business principle about you don't spend $10,000 to save a buck. There are some losses you just let go. And yet the party supposedly of business is arguing, has argued very strongly just the opposite. We got to put up fences. We got to make sure they're 100% tight and this type of thing. Mm. And it would be wonderful if after the election they can get around to this and God forbid, other very serious issues that we've been having before us for the last 4 or 5 years.
For example?
Well, the economy and what we're going to do about that. Education, what we're going to do about that in this country. The environment. Energy. I mean, we've got so many issues that have just been hanging. We haven't had a national energy policy for, by my count, probably 20 years now. We got to get serious about these things. Everything can't be politicized.
All right. Well, let's start out with transportation, because this is a transportation bill that has still not been signed off on. And Susan Martinovich said that if that doesn't get passed, that there's going to be a halt in construction in this state, the like of which we've not seen since the collapse of the gaming boom.
Yeah. And here's an issue supposedly that everyone is behind, and yet they can't get something passed. It's truly remarkable in my mind. Nevada is extremely impacted by that because we're so heavily dependent on federal dollars in terms of our transportation expenditures in the state. They're probably roughly at the state level maybe 40% to 50% of state expenditures. Other states, that's not so true. There's more of a balance there and more predominance of local and state funding. I think in some ways maybe this is good. There are some states that are looking at this year by year. We have these crises. They're pulling away from the federal funding, and at some point the federal government and transportation, believe it or not, is going to become irrelevant. And that's tragic in one sense, because there really are some national things that need to be done and coordinated at the national level, but they are making themselves less and less relevant because they are so unreliable in this area.
Larry, let's deal with reality here, and you're the great historian on this program, which is, how many pieces of major legislation can any administration expect to deal with in a four-year term?
One, if it's lucky. The complexity of each issue and the political complexity of each issue, you can't trade off one issue for another. There's too many trade-offs within the package of dealing with an issue. The health care law, it turned out, really the high watermark of this administration's ability to get a consensus on a major piece of legislation, and that's still subject to change. You've got less than 18 months to actually score big, because then the next election cycle kicks in, and this administration made the choice that it was going to be health care that it was going to pin its hopes on. The problem for that is things like transportation, getting a consensus in Congress. Congress is not working well. There doesn't seem to be enough adult supervision over the sandbox, and the children do seem to get out of control, especially the U.S. Senate, where everything now takes supermajority to move, and or the fear of not having a supermajority keeps anything from moving.
And Trey, you have personal experience on the Hill. You get the last 10 seconds to wrap up your thoughts.
No, I think Larry's right, and this is an election year, and so the transportation bill, for example, is getting all wrapped up in the Keystone Pipeline and everything else. They're going to try to shove everything in there to make political points instead of good policy.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The brakes on Roger Anderson's minivan failed, and he rear-ended a vehicle.
The mechanic says Roger had these brakes repaired once before.
Sounds like a design or manufacturing flaw.
The insurance company and the driver that Roger hit isn't budging on this one.
Yeah, Roger's up against an insurance company and an auto manufacturer.
He really needs our help.
That's what we're here for. Let's get these photos to an expert.
Our investigation clearly revealed the auto manufacturer was at fault. David Allen Associates. Talk to the right people.
Time to enjoy winter weather with Lightning Loot at the Nugget. Win random jackpots of $5,000 to $10,000 weekly. Every time anyone hits a Lightning Loot jackpot, everyone playing with a John's Club card also wins $10 in free play. Pocket more cash on Hot Seat Tuesdays and Thursdays and earn entries into our big monthly drawings. Play Lightning Loot. It can strike anytime. And when it does, everybody wins.
Enter your baby or grandbaby in the Reno Area Baby Pageant. There are no fees to register. Just call 322-5800 or toll free at 1-855-722-6500. We're accepting boys and girls from newborn to 7 years old. Only one child per family or twins. Your child can win trophies, ribbons, certificates, and maybe even a battery-powered riding car. So if you think you have the cutest child or most adorable grandchild, please call 322-5800 today or toll free at 1-855-722-6500 or visit our website.
We regret to inform you your disability claim is not medically supported. Your symptoms are not of a severe nature. The level of severity does not warrant benefits. We are unable to approve payment. Benefits will not be paid. We have closed your file.
If you feel you've been unfairly denied your Social Security disability benefits, don't give up and don't give in. Call the Richard Harris Law Firm, 222-2222. Let us help you get the benefits you deserve.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, we'll talk to James Costa, the CEO of 3G Studios, about online gaming. It's happening. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.